This is Investor IQ on News Radio 570 WWNC.
Before the break, Rob and I were discussing some of the differences between exchange-traded funds and mutual funds. To the layperson, I would imagine that they're all regarded as funds, but they have very distinct differences that are worth understanding to the typical investor. So before you commit your money, it probably would be a good idea to understand exactly what it is that you're purchasing. So we're trying to highlight some of the major differences that would make a difference to an investor in choosing one over the other. Before the break, we were discussing redemption restrictions. We're going to continue with this. We have quite a number of other topics. We are obviously not going to have enough time to finish the entire discussion within the time that's allotted here this Saturday morning. So what we're going to do is continue speaking about these issues, and we're going to post what's called a web exclusive. So if you were to want to listen to the rest of our discussion, you would simply go to WWNC's website at WWNC.com, click on the Listen Now button, and it'll drop down to podcasts, and simply drop, click on the podcast selection, and you will see all kinds of famous people, and you'll also see us, Investor IQ. So you can click that, and you'll be able to listen to the remainder of today's broadcast. So, Rob, before the break, we were talking about redemption restrictions, and we found that a number of mutual funds do, in fact, impose trading restrictions, so that if you buy the fund and try to sell it within 90 days, they start to regard that as a problem.
And that's right.
Right. And exchange-traded funds don't do any such thing. Let's talk about a slightly different topic, this time redemption charges or deferred sales charges. So how would that work on the mutual fund side of the world?
All right. So for a broker-sold fund, which is typically something that would have an A or a B share attached to the end of it.
The suffix, the right. A or B, or the C, possibly.
Right, or C. Those would tend to have what's called a contingent deferred sales charge, which is something that is done to recapture the commission that's been paid out to the agent that sold you that. And then since they haven't had the time to recoup that whole investment.
Right, the fund hasn't had the time.
Right. Then they would tend to charge a fee for you liquidating that. That would typically be on the B or C share variety of those funds, not typically done on the A share variety.
Yeah, I think the contingent deferred sales charges usually apply most often to the B shares, whereas the C shares are considered to be more of like a continuous load where they continue to skim it more heavily every year to pay that commission. So typically on a B-share fund, an investor might lose how much? If that investor were to liquidate, let's say within the first year.
Typically it would be around, could be around 7% for the first year and declining to 1% over the next 6 years or so.
Yeah, that's right. That's typically how it works. ETFs have no deferred sales charges. They have no initial sales charges. You just pay a brokerage commission to purchase the fund. So it's very cut and dried. So that's a major advantage for an exchange-traded fund. With respect to a redemption charge, which is a little bit different from a deferred sales charge, Rob, you want to try to explain what a redemption charge
sure.
is?
Sure. That would normally be more on the no-load variety of funds, and that is imposed to prevent people from trading in and out of illiquid investments. So, for example, a fund that's trading in bank loans where it might be hard to sell those, they might impose a redemption charge.
Right. So if the fund itself is invested in instruments that are kind of illiquid and difficult to sell, it makes it difficult for the fund to actually liquidate those holdings at fair prices to meet redemption requests. So what happens is a certain portion of the money is held back from the sale. The money that would be given back to the shareholder as that shareholder leaves the fund might retain maybe 2% of it and put it back in the fund to compensate the other shareholders. So the fund doesn't get it, a salesperson doesn't get it, but the fund keeps it. With an exchange-traded fund, the fund itself is completely insulated from those movements by means that we will explain later on today on the show or in the web exclusive. So the ETF exchange-traded fund doesn't have to worry about it at all. So there's just no issue there to any extent. When would shares be priced, or how often are they priced for mutual funds, Rob?
So for a mutual fund, they're always priced at the end of the trading day. They price the assets within the fund and value it at that time.
That's right. And with an exchange-traded fund, the fund is priced continuously throughout the day. So there's complete transparency, and you can buy that fund throughout the day at prices that differ. So if you find a market dip that you think is going to be going away, you could seize the opportunity and buy some shares at 10 o'clock in the morning and sell those shares at 2 o'clock in the afternoon if that was your style. That's certainly not our style, but you could do that with an exchange-traded fund. You would have no such ability to do that with a mutual fund. Fair enough, Rob?
Yes.
All right, okay. And then with respect to how shares are priced, that's also a point of difference as well. So mutual funds are priced how?
They're priced at the net asset value of the underlying assets within the fund. So you're getting the price of all the of everything in the fund combined, and you're not having to worry about market movements of that fund.
Right. So the typical mutual fund being priced at net asset value, that's the asset value per share of stock as if the fund were going to liquidate right then, sell all of its holdings, pay its employees, pay the rent, and then give the shareholders what's remaining. That's what the value of the shares are. With respect to exchange-traded funds, they closely approximate their net asset values in most times, but they do tend to deviate from that price to a small extent usually. Very often, an exchange-traded fund will sell at a premium of 0.25% or 0.5% or so. Sometimes when markets get roiled, though, they'll sell at major discounts. So it was not uncommon during March and January for some very conservative bond funds, exchange-traded funds, to be selling at discounts of over 8% to what they were really worth. Typically, other investors would kind of come in through what's called arbitrage, which we're not going to explain here, and narrow that difference. But there are times when everyone is spooked enough that that doesn't happen and you would have a pricing problem. So we would make two major points about ETFs. If you're going to hold the fund through the market cycle, we would favor the exchange-traded fund. If you're planning on trading, and especially dealing in volatile times, we would certainly favor the mutual fund. So that brings us to the end of the segment. Call us at 232-2000 or visit wesselinvestment.com. Check out the podcast to continue this conversation on wwnc.com. My name is Glenn Wessel. This is Investor IQ. Thank you.